You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, thank you for today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of your favor. Lord, we're just so thankful. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice. We have rejoiced. We will rejoice again. Lord, we love you. We pray that you speak to us in your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. First verse says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A few other translations. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. God is a safe place to hide, ready to help when we need him. God is our strong refuge. He is truly our helper in times of trouble. God is a refuge to us and strength, a help in adversities and found most surely. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So what comes to mind when you hear the word refuge? Well, from all those different translations, a strong, safe place in the midst of the storm. And some of you may feel as though you're in a storm at the moment. So this is a very personal, poignant question of great importance. What is a refuge? And how is God our refuge? How is God a strong and safe place to be, to hide, to be safe in the midst of a storm? God is our refuge and strength. God is our strong, safe place in the storm. How? The question is how? And it's a good question to ask, a good question to find the answer to, because for me and for you, I don't think the storm that we are in is going to subside anytime soon. Now, I need to tell you why I said it like that. The last time that we were in Psalm 46 was August of 2020. And that's what I wrote in my notes in August of 2020. It was just such a weird year, wasn't it? I mean, for us personally, we had a trip planned to Israel, 2 years. March of 2020 was when we were going, and we decided to go. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know how bad it was going to be. We got into the country as they were closing the country. We didn't know if we were going to get back home. We were able to get back home, caught COVID on the way back home. And I know we look back on it now with just like, that was no big deal. Back then, we didn't know. We didn't know if everyone was going to die, their insides were going to liquefy. People were getting death threats for getting COVID and bringing it back into communities. And as I had it, we had to go on our first ever live stream. I mean, you thought I was crying just a few minutes ago. Do you remember that live stream? I was so sick, I couldn't like pick my head up. I was coughing up blood clots. And I'm like, turn to verse 4 from my office. It was just such a weird time. And then if you remember, in the summer, we built out this place, and I was overseeing that build out. And then in the midst of August, you know, as you're an equal opportunity offender for everyone in COVID, masks, no masks, all this stuff. I hate you, Pastor. I love you, Pastor. I hate you. All in 5 minutes. How is God a refuge in all of this? You know, I vividly remember that week. I remember that Danielle and I, the week before we taught Psalm 46 and went through it, Danielle and I got in one of those World War III arguments that you have no idea how it started or what it was about. And I'm just sure many of you had many of those arguments just in 2020. It's just everybody was on edge. So World War III, I take the kids, put them in the car, go down to the park, and I'm sitting on a park bench just mumbling and grumbling, refuge, we'll change our name to refuge. How will you find a refuge? Who are you? Refuge. Storms all around us. How do I do this? And then I take the kids back to the house, pull into the driveway, and I get a phone call. In the midst of all of this construction, somebody had broken into the building, done a lot of damage, wrote a lot of weird things in the sheetrock dust all over the whole building, and they thought that he was probably still in the building. So here big fight, World War III, go to the park with the kids, come back, drop the kids off, speed out of the driveway. Danielle doesn't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. All she knows is we're still in a fight. And then I go and I search the building head to toe, top to bottom. And in a back storeroom, I find Adam. And Adam and I have words. And Adam and I go out into the parking lot. And I'm calling the police and following Adam. And then the police come and say, because of COVID, they can't do a single thing. So then here's me and Adam. Cops drive off. And I go, you know what, Adam? You caused a lot of damage back at the building. You come back and help me clean it up. I'll put you in a hotel that night tonight. And he goes, okay. So Adam and I come back into the building, start cleaning up the building. We do the best we can. Then we go to try to find him a hotel. Adam has been kicked out of almost every hotel in St. Cloud to the point where we got into the lobby and they go, oh no, not him. Five hotels we went to. But over the course of driving to those five hotels, Adam and I had a really good conversation about the word refuge. What does it mean? What do you think it means? And he said, a safe place. And I was just thinking, you know, with Adam and his choices and all that was swirling around him, his storm was not going to end anytime soon either. And yet, Adam, just like me, can find a safe place in the storm. His name is Jesus. So I wrote, I don't think the storm that we're in is going to subside anytime soon. And for many of you who know our story, you know that just a few weeks later, our family received news that made the whole first part of 2020 feel like a playground. Danielle's diagnosis. And the storm rages on. And yet here's this promise. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How is Jesus our refuge and strength? How is he our very present help in times of trouble? Well, these are the questions that we've gathered here to answer. How do we find a safe, strong shelter in the midst of a storm that never seems to stop? How is God, how is Jesus that safe, strong shelter and our very present help in times of trouble? Well, we've gathered here together to search the scripture to find those answers. And what we have before us in the scripture today is Psalm 46. So let's read the whole psalm together and then we'll go back and we will find those answers. Psalm 46, let's look at verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Selah, there's that word. What does it mean? Pause and consider. Three times we saw this in this section of Scripture. Three equal parts in this section of Scripture. Let's look at them slowly together now, starting with the first part. Verses 1 through 3. We're going to see in the Scripture the answer to the questions we asked at the beginning. Verse 1 once again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Pause and consider. The psalmist says that even though the worst of the worst would happen, he says, we will not fear. I mean, there's not much worse than the earth being removed right out from under your feet, changed right in front of your eyes. It's interesting, the word translated removed literally means changed. The world, the way you once knew it, was removed right out from under your feet, changed right before your eyes. This isn't, you know, relegated to just something like 2020. It could be a health issue. Could be sudden news. Could be a financial issue. Everything changes in a moment. And the psalmist is saying, no matter if the worst of the worst of any category happen, we will not fear. Why? How? These are the questions that we're asking. I don't care if the earth is removed. How? How do we say with the psalmist, we will not fear? The psalmist was able to say this for the same reason that therefore is in verse 2. In verse 2, it begins with, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Therefore, why? Well, what is it referring to? It's referring to verse 1. God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. God is a safe place to hide, ready to help when we need him. God is our strong refuge. He is truly our helper in times of trouble. God is to us a refuge and strength, a help in adversities, and found most surely. Coming up to the first part of the answer, God can be found most surely, most certainly, in the worst, in the midst of the mess, in the most violent storm. He can be found, but he must be found. And again, the question, how? How do we find a refuge, a safe, strong shelter in the midst of the storm? The answer's in the question. God is that refuge, that safe, strong shelter, and God can be found in that storm, but he must be found. This is the way that God has made it. We might not like it, but this is how he's designed it. He must be found in the midst of the storm. So we need to seek him in order to find him. Scripture says it this way, Deuteronomy 4:29, from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Jeremiah 29:13, God speaking, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. He needs to be found, so he needs to be sought. We need to seek him. We need to find him. Listen to this. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. This is Acts 17. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him. Isn't that interesting? That they might search for him, that they might seek him, that they might find him, though he's not far from each one of us. What does that mean? God has allowed all of the circumstances of your life to this point in hope that you might grope for him. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? God, it seems like such a storm. It's so dark on the outside and on the inside. I'm trying to find you, but I feel like a blind man groping for the light switch. Just trying to figure this all out. And yet this is our great God. Behold the goodness and severity of our God who has designed it this way. He is our refuge. He is our safe, strong place in the midst of the storm. He's ever present, but he must be found. And he promises, if you seek him, you will find him. If you search for him, you will find him. If you grope for him, if you seek him, you will find him. He's not far from each of us. We seek after God, not to just grope around in the dark, but to actually find him. He's near, but he must be found. So what does that tell us about the how question? How do we find that safe, strong shelter in the midst of the storm? Seek Jesus. Find Jesus. In the storm, Jesus is our refuge. He's near. He's very present. He's ever present, but he must be found. So in the midst of the storm, you seek and you find Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, just with the poetic words, Dom, just give me the practical to-do list. Okay, I will. Read your Bible. And talk to God every day. I can't count. And this isn't a judgment in any way. But I can't count how many times people have come up to me and said, Pastor Dom, I'm in the midst of just the worst woes. Circumstances in my heart, and I just feel so empty and low. And I'll just ask a few diagnostic questions with no judgment, no criticism. Just, are you reading your Bible? Are you talking to him? Are you crying out to him? And so often the answer is no. Do you have a friend that you can spend 10 minutes with and there's just have such a gift of encouragement that it could last you like 6 months? Just a 10-minute conversation with them. Just 10 minutes. Imagine if you had full access to that person and you kept going through trial after trial after trial and you just don't reach out to them for any time with them. And then they find out about it and they're like, well, I was here the whole time. Just 10 minutes with me. I mean, if them, how much more so him? How do you seek him in the midst of the storm? Read your Bible, the gift that God has given to you, his word, his spirit working through his word. You search the scriptures not just for academic information. You search the scriptures for in them you believe that you have life. Yes, but these are they that testify of me, Jesus said. Search, seek, find him in the word. Find him in the Old Testament. And don't give up until you do. Wrestle with him and say, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Read your Bible and then talk to him. Tell him, I don't understand this. I don't understand Pastor Dom. His voice is super annoying. Could you just talk to me? Could you help me? Read your Bible and talk to him. Every single day, and especially in the storm. He's right there, but he has made it so that we must seek him. And he's promised to be found by those who seek him and search for him, cry out to him. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Everything we need is found in our knowledge of him, in knowing him. And where do we get to know him? Through his word. Reading, studying, searching, seeking in the scriptures, not just to obtain information, to attain some spiritual status, but so that we can know him, so that we can actually interact with him. So we seek him in the word. We find him in the word. We talk to him. That's prayer. And Jesus, who tells us all of this, assures us over and over through this that this is not the end of our story. No matter what's going on in your life, it's not the end of our story. And there in that, we're looking forward to unimaginable glory in the midst of the storm. You ever been in such a storm where there's just, it's so beyond your ability to affect anything and it's swirling all around you and yet you still raise your hands and say hallelujah anyway? Because you're daydreaming about what he is securing for you, purchasing for you, building for you. And he's going to come back very soon to take us there. Okay, second section of scripture, verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7. So far, the question how? Seek him. Seek him. Especially in the storm. Seek him in the word, through the word. Find him. Behold him. Talk to him. Cry out to him. He promises to be found by us. Now, verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Now, what was that second section? That second section was our heavenly daydreaming. What's it talking about? River in the city of God? There certainly wasn't a river in Jerusalem, in the old Jerusalem, but is there a river in the new Jerusalem? Yes, there is. And where do we find out about that new Jerusalem? In the last chapter of the scripture. That's the end of the story with him forever, where he is with us. Tangibly, he's the light of the new heavenly city. And there is a river that runs through it with God with us, protecting us. The Lord of hosts is with us, who is also the God of Jacob. Did you notice that? I love that. I love that those two are together. The Lord of hosts. What does that mean? The greatest military might that the universe has ever seen. He's the Lord of heavenly armies. And he's the God of lousy liars like Jacob. Those two are paired together. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of the greatest military might in the universe is also the God of lowly liars like Jacob. He is our refuge. And all we have to do is seek him. And he promises that we will find him when we seek him with our whole heart. So we're still answering that question, how? So far we have seek him, find him, and then abide in him. Seek him, find him, abide in him. Seek him, find him, abide in him. You know, when we went through that initial wave of all the things that happened after Danielle's diagnosis, you know, there was such a greater awareness of what people need in the midst of disorienting suffering. Like, I remember when very well-intentioned people would say, well, if you need anything, let us know. And those of you who have gone through disorienting suffering, do you remember? You don't know what you need. You don't know what you need. And it's too much mental work to like come up with something to ask them for something. It's just, you're just so swirling. And so I think that it's just so important to have these simple things in front of us, especially preemptively for the storms that are coming. To have something as simple as this, if you go through disorienting suffering, seek Him, write it in the front cover of your Bible. God's not going to spank you. Just write it in the front cover of your Bible. Seek Him, find Him, abide in Him. Psalm 46. Seek Him, find Him, abide in Him. Seek Him, find Him, and then abide in Him. What does that mean? Well, last section of Scripture, verse 8. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. There it is again. The Lord, the ultimate authority, the greatest military might, the commander of the greatest military might that the world has ever seen, is also the God of lowly sinners like me. And he says to me, you will find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. God made it this way in the hope that we might grope for him and search for him, that we might seek him, that we might find him, though he's not far from each one of us. God said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. So, very practically, seek him. Read your Bible. Read your Bible every single day. I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. I'm also exhorting myself. Read your Bible, Dom, every day. And when you come up against something you don't know, fall back on what you do know and cry out to him. Read your Bible, cry out to him. Read your Bible, cry out to him. Talk to him. And then abide. What does that mean? Stay there. Repeat. Do it again. Continuous. Day after 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 day, and then take a break. And then day after day after, no, every day until kingdom come, not to score points with God. He's not going to love you anymore. He loves you as much as he ever will right now, as much as he loves his son Jesus. But do this because he's promised us. This is the key that unlocks the promise. I've got treasures galore for you, but I have made it so that you must seek me. And I promise if you seek me, you will find me. And once you find me, stay with me. Stay right there. Abide. Trust me. Depend on me. Talk to me. Seek me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, a helper who is always found in times of trouble, a safe place to hide, ready to help when we need him, our strong refuge, truly our helper in times of trouble. God is to us a refuge and strength, a help in adversities, and found most surely. Jesus, we do indeed thank you for looking upon these frail creatures made out of dust, that you love so much, that you would speak to us and interact with us when we seek you. Lord, thank you for calling us to yourself again and again and again and again and again. Lord, we're frail and forgetful. I am frail and forgetful. And I hear you saying to my soul, come and talk with me. And my soul says back to you, Lord, I'm coming. Thank you, Lord, for that secret place, even in the midst of the storm, where we find our refuge in you. Lord, I pray for all those who are finding themselves weary and exhausted this morning, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit to empower them to do exactly what you're calling them to do, to seek you with their whole heart. That they would experience your strength in the mustard seed of obedience and faith. That they would receive from you all that they need. Bless them, Lord. Encourage them. Fill them and strengthen them. Give them peace that goes beyond figuring it all out. Overflow in their lives. And let them have something to give to the next weary traveler. Lord, we love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for interacting with us. Thank you for answering our prayers. We worship you now, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Dominic Dinger. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Dominic's teaching ministry by visiting refuge.mn.